1000 and the ESPN Chicago app. That's why I
see him in the show. Good morning and welcome in to the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show on ESPN 1000 and streaming on the ESPN Chicago app with David Kaplan. Jonathan Hood with you. Time for Shot or No Shot is brought to you by...
That would be Club Hawthorne and the Club Hawthorne mobile wagering app. The Derby is around the corner. The Derby prep's going on. Do all your wagering there. And if you want to bet bet sportsbook at Hawthorne Racecourse. Snortling, good morning.
Good morning, boys. Cap, I heard you say you were betting the horsies yesterday.
I was.
I feel like betting horse races on a Thursday is a little out there, no?
Money-making opportunities, I guess, right?
Every day is a money-making opportunity. It's not like I'm betting big money.
I know a lot of people bet the horsies every Saturday, that like the Derby prep races, stuff like that. Like Hood, when you hear Cap say he's spending his Thursday, the second he gets home, and he's putting in the horse bets, he's betting the ponies immediately on a Thursday afternoon. I mean, shot or no shot. That's Cap's got a little issue here.
There's a shot. He does have an issue. But I would say this. I'd rather for Cap to do that than to do the alternative. If he did not have an opportunity to gamble, what would Cap do? That's dangerous to think about. So let him just be comfortable in his semi-air-conditioned home and be able to just enjoy the bets, like, even on a Thursday.
Yeah, like you have Keeneland running.
Who?
Keeneland, uh-huh. Oaklawn Park. You've got...
They're running in Oaklawn? Oh, my God. On 95th?
No.
By the Andes? The ice cream?
Gulfstream is beautiful.
Right, but you're doing it from your couch. Like, if you're going to Keeneland... Okay, yeah. If I'm going to Keeneland on a Thursday, I'm betting. But if I'm on my couch, I'm not pulling up the mobile app and going, let's take a look at what's going on in Belmont today.
Well, you got to understand,
like, aqueduct.
He didn't have any Cubs and Sox to bet on. There is no Bulls, so just let him be. Because again, what if he wasn't? Shay, what do you think he'd be doing?
I don't know. See? That is a terrifying prospect.
That's right. Let him.
I was watching. I had a little money on the RBC golf event.
Oh my God! All right.
Yeah, Victor Hovland, 7 under. He's your first round leader. He did not have it.
Is it on? Here's Shay Norley. Shay?
Listen, I'm just, you know, Hood, you made a good point. Because the idea, whatever he's doing, if he's not betting horses, would be way worse than being like a retired guy betting Saratoga on his phone.
He's got no TV at night, so he's got to do something with his time.
All right, boys, the Bulls.
Wow. At least not yet. Keep your eyes on the trades.
Just reading transactions.
Seriously.
The Bulls will be heading to South Beach to try to keep their season alive tonight, and they will likely be without their secret weapon, as DeMar has said his daughter, DR DeRozan, has to go to school. But, Hood, United Airlines is offering a free flight to get DR to South Beach and to get her to the game. Shot or no shot, the Bulls need DR DeRozan if they're going to win tonight.
That is a shot. I think that you got to keep the gimmick going now. And again, you talk about Toronto, at least it's full. People are interested. Miami, they're hardly in the chairs. So it'll just be her with a whole bunch of open chairs for the screen. Absolutely.
So I was reading Scotty Barnes from the Raptors.
Yeah.
Said she absolutely affected it. I kept looking around going, who is screaming? He said, obviously, we went 18-36. He gave her more credit than others. Now, very good job by United to maximize PR on a feel-good story.
Yeah.
DeRozan's made like $150 million. He could charter her from L.A. down to Miami.
I know. But like you just said, good PR. And I think some of the airlines need that.
Yeah.
So let's put here's a question, Shay. Did she go back from Toronto to L.A. to school?
Do we know that? I don't know if we know that.
I mean, was she hanging around? Did she go fly?
No, I think she went back to school.
In L.A.,
correct.
So, you know what? After class, bam, right on a PJ. Right from L.A. to Miami. In time. What time's the game? 6 o'clock?
You know what would be really cool?
Excuse me?
Like, if the phone rang here and Shay answered it. I'm serious.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is Jerry Reinsdorf.
Oh, God.
I need to have this young lady... at the game, I'm sending a PJ to L.A., private jet.
Mm-hmm.
And I wanted to let everybody know. That would be amazing.
just for her to scream out there. Yeah. I think it's a good idea. It's a shot that she is a secret weapon.
Particular game. If he steps the wrong way or something.
Visit to Florida State. Asked him, what did you... Patrick said, I was down for whatever Coach Hamilton... Underrated passer, doing a nice job.
In terms of the total number or the quality of shots, I'm comfortable.
Tell me, life is really good for him right now. Oh, he's in a good headspace coming in.
The handle is maybe not as tight.
A 20-point advantage.
This guy thinks he can do more offense.
You know what? If I'm Nick Nurse, Shay, if I'm Nick Nurse and I hear Scotty Barnes say that those blood-curdling screams affected us, you know what? I am out. If you're not leaving, I'm leaving. If a little girl makes you that skittish, I'm out of here. Jackaloon. Seriously? I mean, fans yell like this all the time. Women scream at games all the time. But a little girl, again, a quiet Toronto Scotia Bank Center, and you're freaked out by a little girl screaming?
Dude.
Then you know what? That team didn't deserve to win then. You're better than that. Well, actually, you're not. Sorry.
So good.
Toronto, you're not better than that. I watch you all season. You're not better than that.
How about this from RassFX in our Twitch chat? Shot or no shot. That's twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago if you'd like to join. Shot or no shot, Jimmy Butler will shusher when he makes a basket.
Knowing him, yes.
Ain't that great TV, putting his finger over his mouth to shush DeAndre DeRozan when he hits a free throw?
Don't tell him. That'd be hilarious.
Tell my daughter, shut up, man. Could you imagine Jay Moore in that spot?
Oh, my God.
Then it'd be a brouhaha. It'd be a fight. Swinging on him. Don't tell my baby to shut up. You shut up.
It would be so funny. Yeah, Scotty Barnes says it was tranquil in the gym, and all she did was yelling, and I couldn't figure out where it was coming from.
So now we can't hit free throws because a little girl's screaming.
How about that?
You know what? If I'm Nick Nurse, I'm out of here. So long, everybody.
She
from Toronto.
DR had to have had an effect on us.
That is so good.
That's unbelievable.
I would never say that out loud.
Yeah, that you couldn't beat that out of me in an interrogation. I'm never admitting that. You couldn't waterboard that out of me. Like, what is he doing giving that comment? You could never get that out of me.
She did a great job, Bart said.
I mean, that is just so good.
Just thinking about Shay with his hair.
Did the child have an effect on you?
No!
Did the child have an effect on you?
No! I can't get it out! We get to execute! No! It wasn't the child! It was Nurse! Bad game plan! It was Patrick Williams!
Long arm bastard!
Here's Shay Norley. Shay?
All right, boys. Ian Rappaport. Ian Rappaport put out a tweet about Michigan's defensive tackle, Mozzie Smith, who's expected to be a pick in the late first or early second round. Smith's meetings, per Ian Rappaport, have included the Chicago Bears. Smith could be available in range for the Bears if they trade down from 9. Obviously, if you're taking a defensive tackle out of Michigan, you're probably not taking Jalen Carter. Shot or no shot, trading down and taking Mozzie Smith would be better than taking Carter at 9.
That's no shot.
I don't know.
I don't want them trading out of 9.
I know we're supposed to not admit we don't know something. I know the name. I don't know who the hell Mozzie Smith is in terms of his abilities.
Slick fielding shortstop. Didn't hit for much. He was slick. I mean, he hit 218, but he was good with the glove.
Ozzie Smith. And this is Mozzie with an M.
Huh?
It's Mozzie Smith from the University of Michigan. He's a football player.
You're mispronouncing it. He had a great cartwheel, remember? He had a great cartwheel for those white rat. It was that Whitey Herzog, right?
Yes.
White rat was, I think that was Gaetti. But you remember he was a shortstop. He used to do the cartwheel right there on the AstroTurf.
That's a different guy in a different sport. We're talking about a young kid from Michigan.
He was number one.
But I don't know if Mozzie Smith is good or not. I have no idea.
He's more of a one technique, Cap. He's like a Dontari Poe, which obviously a guy like Ryan Poles would be familiar with that.
This guy over here, he thinks we're talking about Ozzie Smith. Different guy. Wow.
Couldn't hit well, but good player.
Again, I can't tell That's you correct. If I know if Mozzie Smith's going to be a good fit in the Bears' defense. I have no idea. Not my job to know.
I think you stay at 9 and get yourself a quality athlete. That's what I think.
I want an offensive lineman, for crying out loud.
Understood. I'm not going to fight you on that.
Give me that kid from Tennessee. If he's truly got all pro written all over him at right tackle, like Lane Johnson, that's what they're comparing him to. Lane Johnson's a beast.
Here comes the wizard. Remember? Mozzie Smith. I remember him.
Wow. Shea, save me.
Here's the wizard. Here's the pitch filed away.
Thanks, Jack.
Remember? He was great.
Ground ball softly, left side, and it's through.
Go crazy.
There's a base hit. We'll see you tomorrow night. So long, everybody. Jack?
Man, I love doing this job. Jay.
I'm just all right. A few weeks ago, I asked you boys about a world record, if you remember, that was beaten by an English woman who was able to top 10 pancakes with sugar and lemon in 30 seconds. Mm-hmm. I thought we could beat that. I saw one today that I know we can beat. Okay. A world record was broken this week, according to Guinness. A German man finished a Capri Sun juice box in 10.41 seconds. Apparently, that is the world record. Shot or no shot, we can crush
yeah,
that.
Bring them in.
Damn.
I will get some. I'll bring them on Monday.
Wait a minute. A Capri Sun juice box in how much time?
10.41 seconds.
Okay, what are the rules?
I feel like I finish them quicker than that leisurely. You can't not chug a Capri Sun.
Leisurely? What does that mean?
When I'm just drinking, like I'm not competitively drinking a Capri Sun.
The word's leisurely. Jesus Christ.
You could do it either way. What are you talking about?
Leisurely. My God. Wow. Can you just cut the top off the Capri Sun juice box?
You got to do it through the straw, right? Could you check that, Shay? It's got to be.
No, because it has to be through the straw.
Shay, you know, actually, I'm surprised because it's 10 seconds through the straw. We should be able to crush that.
I'm not so sure about that. You see the size of that straw? It's tiny.
What is?
The straw.
Oh, yes, yes. Yeah.
By the way, Twitch chat is commenting, I said leisurely correctly, and I looked it up. You can say it both ways, Kaplan. Okay. Jesus Christ, it's leisurly.
Name me one normal human that says, yeah, I'm going to have a leisure weekend. Leisure.
That's exactly
right.
Like
Jason.
That's exactly right. You fired yet? Coach, are you fired yet?
Yeah, Jason Leisure, Chicago Sun-Times. Coach Nagy, did they fire you yet?
No, Jason, I'm still here. we gotta get to work.
That was the best.
Yeah, I mean,
remember that report?
Yeah, you'd ask.
They're gonna fire him after the Thanksgiving. Coach Jason Leisure. Yes, Jason. Are you fired yet?
Nope. Coach, no, I'm still here, Jason. I'm still here coaching. See the whistle, hat? I'm still here.
The best.
All right, thank you.
But if I know, I'll let you guys know.
Yeah, I'll let you know when I'm fired, but I'm not fired yet.
Next question.
Jason Leisure. Yeah, Coach. It was the Zoom. I was back into Zoom because of COVID. Jason Leisure. Yeah, Coach. Are you fired yet? No, I'm not fired, but thank you.
Hood and I were like,
are you fired yet? That's what it asks.
The best.
Leisure or leisure, right?
Yeah.
It works either way, right, Shay?
It works either way. God. It goes both ways, you might say.
As John Bortoli just tweeted at us, Cap, Hoodie, I'm with you. I've never heard a single human in 34 years of life say it. It was asinine. Take that.
As Shay just told us, it can go either way.
Yeah. It goes both ways.
Or either way.
That's what you go said. Both ways, huh? Okay.
No, listen, don't put that on me. Not telling you anything about myself. I'm telling you about the word leisure and leisure. That's it. I haven't hit it in 4 months.
What are we doing here?
I haven't hit it in 4 months.
Either way, he's not hit it in 4 months. Either way. Coming up, we will go.
This show.
What did I say wrong? Did I say something wrong?
Ozzie Smith is not going to fit at three technique. He's too small.
Running back.
Around the NFL, as we talk about Aaron Rodgers, that's next, right here on Cap and Jay Hood.
We'll see you in four minutes.
See you in 4 minutes tomorrow night.
You're listening.
listening to Cap and Jay Hood. Follow the show on Instagram at the Capman and at IGJHood. This is ESPN Chicago, Chicago's home for sports.
Nick Foles sucks. He sucks.
I'm just a fan. I'm not a football evaluator.
I love the Green Bay Packers.
The guy is drunk, but there he goes.
This is not Detroit, man. This is the Super Bowl.
I want winners.
He starts to come and then he pulls out.
This is a really thickly built guy.
I mean, what's the answer you're looking for on these things here?
It's time to go around the National Football League on the Cap and Jay Hood Morning Show here on ESPN 1000 with you till 10. Then Adam Abdallah will be in for Greeny from 10 to noon. Carmen and Yurko, 12 to 2. There'll be Waddle and Sylvie from 2 to 5:30 right into White Sox baseball as they take on the Orioles. 5:30 pregame with Connor. 6:10 first pitch with Len and DJ as Mike Clevenger will take the bump for the White Sox. Now it's time to go around the National Football League. It's just like a it's amazing, Cap, how the Aaron Rodgers story just won't go away.
It will not. Every day is more development. You have Mark Murphy speaking at some group. I know the two GMs have been talking, blah, blah, blah. Not that Murph.
Oh.
This is Mark Murphy, the president of the Packers, former AD at Northwestern.
Sorry.
Go ahead.
He says the two GMs have been talking.
Yeah.
Another report from up in Wisconsin is that these two guys have a very good relationship. Joe Douglas of the Jets and Brian Gutekunst of the Packers.
But Charles Robinson from Yahoo has
differs.
He has a very laid out, detailed report. But just listen to what he has to say about this, because we've had the conversation, Shay, as a show, before we were Charles. Like, do you do this after the draft, before the draft? And then it's the Jets, so it's sketchy, right? They haven't done things well in a long, long time.
Yeah, before you play this, and this comes from our teammates, Mark Tauscher, Jason Wilde up in Milwaukee, talked to Charles Robinson, but they also brought up, and I didn't see this, David Bakhtiari was on a Barstool Sports podcast, and he was talking about the Packers, and he kept referring to the Packers as they, and then suggested that maybe they could bring Rodgers back and not play him. David Bakhtiari said this, and that led to what we're going to hear.
All right, let's hear from Charles Robinson.
The Packers are holding out for what they want right now, and that's a problem, I think, with the Jets, and more specifically, I think, with Jets ownership. And Green Bay is stuck on an asking price of a 2 this year, a straight shot 1 next year, so no graduation schedule attached to it. And they would be willing to do the 2025, some sort of a draft asset give back if, for some reason, Aaron Rodgers doesn't play in 2024. And the Jets and Woody Johnson specifically, not going to, they're just not going to do it. Quote unquote ball. If we're gonna do that whole thing. Whose court is the ball in? I guess it's in the Jets' court. But the problem with that is that for the Jets, it's a standstill. When the owner says, nah, we're not doing the straight shot one. And I think what Woody Johnson's problem is with this is that he looks at Denver, all the assets that Denver gave up, you know, thinking that they're going to bring Russell Wilson and it's going to turn a key and everything's going to go great. And now Seattle's sitting on Denver's pick at number 5 because it just crashed and burned. I think there's also some of the Matt Stafford thing. Hey, now he's, you know, got the bulky elbow, and everything fell apart for the Rams, and suddenly Detroit's sitting on 6. And so I think Woody Johnson says, look, we're willing to do something with a second-round pick next year, so it'd be 2 2s, but there's got to be some element of graduation that is attached to it. What happened was, you know, they had sort of trade parameters worked out, and then when Aaron went on Pat McAfee and said that I'm 90% retired, I was 90% retired when I went into the darkness retreat, I think it scared Woody. You know, I think that was one of those things that scared him.
Okay, good conversation and good thoughts there from Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports. Okay, there's a couple of things swirling in my head regarding this. So, Shay asked the question, maybe not even 2 or 3 weeks ago, asking the question, okay, so who holds the key? Who holds the power in this? Is it the Jets or the Packers? That was a shot or no shot, I believe you asked, right, Shay? I think it was at some point.
Yeah, I don't believe the Packers have as much leverage as everyone else leads you to believe.
Mm-hmm.
From I've asked different people who have been an executive in the league or been a head coach in the league. They don't think the Packers have the leverage either. I'm not telling you the Jets have all of it. There is no scenario Green Bay wants Aaron's money to stay on the books, $50 million a year for two more years. That's A. B, can you imagine if he shows up for OTA? Hey, I'm here. We're going to have him sit?
Yep.
No shot.
Yep. Jordan Love's going to be like, what about me?
And the first game that Jordan Love throws three picks, fumbles in the backfield when he gets sacked by some lousy defensive lineman that no one ever heard from, they're going to be like, okay, get him back in there. We'll deal with it. If we have to pay him, we're going to at least utilize him. No chance.
Maybe Jordan Love's great.
Maybe
we have no idea.
We have no idea.
I will say, Cap, I listened to the rest of this Charles Robinson interview with Tauscher and Wilde, mm-hmm. and he didn't like outright say the trade's not going to happen, but he mm-hmm. did bring up there's no market outside of the Jets. The Jets are the only team that's even interested in trading for Rodgers.
You're
no
telling
other
me that
team
the
49ers...
who That's, have a wide open not, window to win.
I'm not telling you anything. I'm telling you what Charles Robinson said. He said there is no market, period, for Aaron Rodgers. And so if you're the Jets, do you start looking at, hey, maybe we can get Ryan Tannehill for a third and some stuff?
What about the last part that you talked about earlier? What about the last part of that? Where it's like, what? How Woody Johnson feels.
Yeah, that's the Woody Johnson fear is the big thing. Because yeah. if he's like, if we have to give up a first or we have to give up multiple assets to get this guy, when we could give up worse assets and get Ryan Tannehill serviceable with a team we know can win. And if you look at Detroit, you see a team with Jared Goff who's serviceable, yeah. look good mm-hmm. on offense. Maybe you just go, screw this. We don't want to deal with the Packers and Rodgers. We'd rather go this route. Then what do the Packers have? They're left holding the bag. They're screwed.
Yeah. And they let Mike White go to where? Miami? He's the backup down there?
I believe so. But what about the back end of what he said there, Charles Robinson? 90% of Aaron wanted to retire when he was in the darkness.
But
is he committed? What are you getting if you're the Jets, if you make this deal?
They met for several hours, and Aaron said, I'm in. Let's do this.
Mm-hmm.
So you can have an opinion come back. When you're laying on vacation with Peacock down in St. Martin or wherever it is you went.
Yeah.
There are times you go, you know what? This would be awesome. I'm so ready to just do this. But when you come back and you stand in that spot right there and start having fun, you're like, I'm back. Let's go. Your perspective changes all the freaking time.
That's what you think when you're on vacation, that you're ready to go?
I didn't say me. I said you.
Why is it going to be on me? You think that's where my mind is when I'm on vacation? I can stay here forever? And be away from Cap? That's not what I'm thinking.
If you had
I'm on the 14th tee box.
You had I just teed off on 6. I got a long way to go.
No, no one's hiring you when you're 80. They're not. They're not hiring you when you're 80.
Orion Samuelson's still on.
Exactly. And he's speaking to the dead. So there's that.
So I truly believe that maybe he did go in there thinking, I'm done. All this nonsense in Green Bay. I'm out. I got plenty of money. You know what? I can do this. We'll go to New York. Nerve center of the freaking world. We got a team that hasn't won since 1969.
Nice.
And if I lead them to a Super Bowl, oh my goodness, I go down as top 3 or 4 quarterbacks ever.
I can understand both sides of this. I think it's going to be very interesting to see how this all materializes, how this all works out. When will this happen, before or after the draft?
Like the similarities between Aaron and Favre.
Yep.
With all the nonsense on their departure and both going to the Jets potentially, all of it. Can you imagine if Aaron showed up, pulls up in his SUV at Lambeau? Hey, I'm here.
Just remember.
You know, they had sort of trade parameters worked out, and then when Aaron went on Pat McAfee and said that I'm 90% retired, I was 90% retired when I went into the darkness retreat, I think it scared Woody. You know, I think that was one of those things that scared him.
I don't think it scared Woody at all. Woody got on his private jet, flew down there for a day and a half of meetings, 2 days, and Aaron said, I'm in, let's do it. They're going to get the trade done. He's going to play for the Jets, and they're going to be really freaking good, and I might cash a ticket.
That's fine. You're only saying that because you're trying to cash this ticket, but we don't know if Rodgers will be Brady at the end. That's not good.
Or are you Stafford or are you Russell Wilson? And then you end up feeding the Packers a top 10 pick.
But if you're Stafford, you got a ring. You said to Woody, hey, he's going to play 1 year and you win a ring and then he's done.
The flip side, Cap, is are the Jets what the Rams were? I would say not even close.
That is correct.
They're closer than you might give them credit. I'm not saying they are, but they're closer than you think.
Good to hear from your wallet here this morning. Coming up, Courtney Cronin on he'll join us with the latest on the Bears of the NFL. That's only your wallet talking. That's not real analysis you're giving.
No, I'm giving you real analysis.
No, it's not real analysis.
That Jet team is a lot of talent.
That's not real analysis. That is a man who's on a heater trying to cash that ticket at the end of the season. So, folks, just disregard. Brought to you by Aiken Law. 312-6 million. Wow. Put that number in your phone. Disregard what you just heard. I'm talking to the jury. Disregard what that jackaloon has just said.
And we'll see you tomorrow night.
Courtney Cronin on the Bears in the NFL next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Here's today's headline with Cap and Jay Hood.
Good morning, Chicago. The White Sox and Cubs both had the day off yesterday and back in action today. The Northsiders play the Dodgers tonight, while the White Sox will host the Orioles in the South Side right here on the home of the Sox, ESPN 1000. First pitch scheduled for 6:10. Dan and Tanya Snyder have reached a preliminary deal to sell the Washington Commanders to a group led by the Philadelphia 76ers co-owner Josh Harris. Tampa Bay rallied from being down 3-1 with a 7-run fifth inning to get a 9-3 win over the Boston Red Sox, their 13th win in a row, tying the modern Major League Baseball record for consecutive wins to start a season. Bulls and Miami tonight in the play-in. Jay Moore.
Okay, it's about that time. You're tuned in to the Cap and Jay Hood Show.
Everything ain't hardcore, you know.
On Chicago's home for sports, ESPN Chicago.
Keep your beak out of this.
Courtney Cronin, National Chicago Bears reporter for ESPN.
I think you have to temper expectations if you are a Bears fan, just given everything that this team had to kind of undo.
Breaking down the Bears and the latest NFL storylines.
Team transcendent quarterback Russ is not this guy. You know, he's very legacy conscious. He wanted to go to Denver and build something and win a Super Bowl there.
Courtney Cronin with Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000, Chicago's home for sports.
Courtney Cronin covers the Bears in the NFL like a blanket for ESPN and ESPN.com. She joins us on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom.
Don't worry, call the CarX man.
Good morning, Courtney. How are you?
Hey, guys. I'm great. How are you doing?
We're doing well, thank you. Before we talk about the Bears, we were just talking about Aaron Rodgers. And we were trying to determine what is more prudent to try to get this deal done before or after the draft. And there's still a lot of conjecture out there about Rodgers and his flirting with the Jets. What's the latest that you know about this?
Well, I mean, the logical thing to do would be to get it done before the draft, because if they are adamant about multiple picks, and we know that the Jets do have that extra second rounder because of the Elijah Moore trade, you'd think that you'd want to be able to use those picks to build around Jordan Love and, you know, retool a couple pieces on the offensive line. Their defense certainly needs some work in Green Bay too. It would make a ton of sense to go about it that way. But again, the Packers are on their own timeline here. As much as we try to put like reality into the situation and thinking about this logically, that the draft is coming up, it should be the natural deadline. They don't seem to be in any sort of rush, because you'd think that they would have already pulled this move off and gotten Aaron Rodgers out of the building and just kind of been done with it and started focusing on the draft. I don't know if they're trying to send like a message by moving as slow as they are, but I don't have any panic that like Aaron Rodgers is not going to be a Jet at the end of the day, or that he's going to end up back in Green Bay somehow. To me, those don't feel like realistic options. I think the Packers are playing hardball, and they're hoping that the Jets at some point are just going to say, all right, to hell with it. Go ahead and take this extra pick, whether it's – they're not getting the pick at 13. Like that's the bottom line. But maybe they do get an extra second rounder. Maybe it is an additional third. Maybe it is something next year too. So I think they've got to look at this and say, at some point, when do you just want to be done with this and move on? Because they are moving on internally. Behind the scenes, they're starting to plan. They've already started the plan for the draft and probably what they're going to do in the first round and then the second. I just think that the financials of his contract, considering how wonky that thing is and the way that it's structured, it's so complicated, and that's the Packers' fault. But that makes it even more difficult and why this hasn't been a seamless trade and get compensation back in return for Aaron Rodgers.
So, and good to talk with you, Double C.
We're both talking to her. I'll take the fine to get that line out, that we're both talking to her.
There you go.
Not just you. Go ahead.
So, the interesting thing that I can't envision, I told this to Hoodie, him showing up in Green Bay, pulling up in his SUV and going, I'm back. You guys want to mess with me on my trade? I'm back. Good luck. Like, that sideshow would be insane, right?
There's no way that happens. He's someone who, kind of like Lamar Jackson, these are two people who are standing on principle right now and doing it their way to stick it to their current teams that they're under contract with. And if Aaron Rodgers, at the end of the day, said, I don't think he's going to have a change of heart, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Where they won't give him he'll retire before anything else. If they won't give him the trade, they're sending him on to the place where he wants to be traded, he's not just going to reluctantly say, all right, I'll go back and make $58 million this year, because that's how much he's guaranteed with the option. I tend to think he's going to say, all right, to hell with it. Because if you retire, you can come out of retirement in a year. They won't own your rights anymore. So, I mean, that's probably, if it becomes the nuclear option, that's how I think he would handle it. He's not playing football in Green Bay anymore. There is no doubt in my mind that that door is closed, and nothing's going to reopen that.
Watch that language, too, by the way. We got kids listening.
It's Friday. It's not Sunday. When I host on Sunday, I have to, you know, like temper things that come, you know, things I say. It's Friday.
You tell the parents listening, relax. You be careful there, Cody Cronin.
Well, tell them their kids should be in school. Spring break's over.
Wow!
Jeez, that's a little aggressive.
Wow. How about that?
Although, unless their kids are listening because they want a nice education in sports broadcasting and this is what they want to do someday, totally fine with it. But they also have to be prepared that that's the type of words you're going to hear when you're in this industry. Even worse.
All right, we'll carry the hell on here with Courtney Cronin here on ESPN 1000.
Jeez.
And it's streaming on the ESPN Chicago app. Courtney, I've been steadfast in the belief that the Bears should stay at 9. The deal that they made with Carolina, I think, is sound. I think it helps both teams. But I really believe that there's quality there at 9. And again, we keep going round and round to find out if it's Jalen Carter or not. We don't know. But what do you think is best? I think that there's quality on offense or defensive line for the Bears to find at 9. And then if you want to make more deals in day 2 and day 3, that's fine. But you got to find a cornerstone here, because this pick, to me, is very important.
It is. And for them to stay at 9, if it is Jalen Carter, if he even gets to 9, I mean, you hear some of the rumblings about what Seattle's going to do if they don't surprise everybody and take Anthony Richardson, which at this point would not be a surprise, but that they could be in play for Jalen Carter. And then Detroit, again, at 6. I know that we had an article up at ESPN.com yesterday sorting through some of those options. And Carter, you know, is somebody that people believe won't make it past, like, the top 6 in the draft. And you can understand why. I mean, certainly there are off-the-field concerns. But if he somehow fell to the Bears at 9, I think you'd be hard-pressed to not take him. And, of course, we're factoring in all of the off-the-field stuff. And I know that fans look at this and say, how could you? Character and et cetera, et cetera. Well, the Bears happen to have, like every NFL team, a lot of PIs in the background here. People who have been investigating his character, talking to people about Jalen Carter, you know, from his past, from what happened at Georgia. If they end up taking him at 9, you can be assured that Ryan Poles did his research here, because there's not a bigger boom or bust candidate in the draft. And for a second-year general manager, you really can't get that wrong, especially when he's talked so much about culture and what he's trying to build in this team and not bringing somebody in to mess that up. Let's not forget, you know, Ryan Poles had a masterclass in this in Kansas City. Like, Larry Johnson was on that team when Ryan Poles was a young scout. He saw what it's like to bring somebody in who's a clubhouse cancer, and I think he wants to avoid that by doing the most research he possibly can on Jalen Carter, if Carter is even going to be available to him at 9, because we know his talent speaks of a top 5 prospect. There's just all these other concerns. So if you're sitting there at nine and he's there or another offensive lineman's there that you really covet, it'd be hard. You'd be hard pressed to move back from nine and say, well, I can get somebody else later in the first round that I really covet, or, you know, continue to stockpile picks. I'm with you, Hoodie. I think that moving back in round one, at least at nine, is probably not the best play, but maybe even moving into round one, into the later picks at the end of day one, by packaging some of the other picks they have, could be at play.
So I'm going to put you on the spot here, because I've made my opinion known. Like, I believe that if John Schneider, Pete Carroll, or Howie Roseman take Jalen Carter and it doesn't work, everyone goes, they swung for the fences, they rolled the dice, came up snake eyes, didn't work. If Ryan Poles does it with his first ever first round pick, like, that really damages the plans of getting this thing turned around by missing with pick nine. So that said, Courtney Cronin is covering the draft. She's sitting there, the laptop's open, ready to write. And with the ninth pick, the Chicago Bears select, and he's on the board. Does he take him or not?
I think they would take him at nine. But that's, again, the thing we don't know is, how did those meetings go when he was here for his top 30? What other information did they find out? So the way that it works, I was alluding to this, every team has people, like, they hire private investigators to go through someone's background. Anybody has these red flags next to their name, and they sort through it. The NFL also has a security report that it releases. It should already be out. It comes out about 3 weeks before the draft, that goes to all 32 teams of their private investigators. And these are former FBI, Secret Service, like, you name it. They really do their due diligence. If there's something there that comes out about, like, this is worse than we thought, the Bears aren't going to take him. But if they know all of the information right now, and they know that this is somebody who probably wasn't the most forthcoming at the combine, obviously, but they know it won't be an issue, then they're going to take him at nine. Because when you think about the needs on that defensive line from a true football perspective, this is a 4-3 defense that needs a violent pass rusher in the middle. You can't pass up a talent like that when he's sitting there and he falls to you because other teams may have a concern, or maybe it's just the way that the board falls with the quarterbacks. But I think if he's there at nine, I think they will absolutely take him.
Sunday morning, best week ever?
Best week ever. We're going to be keeping it PG-13 this week. I think I'm actually going to push the envelope thanks to this conversation this morning. I don't know what I'm going to say.
You're not going to do that.
Going for R, Courtney.
You won't do that.
I might. We'll see. We'll see. We'll see what we talk about.
Okay. We appreciate the time as always.
Thanks, guys. Take care.
Have a great weekend.
The very dangerous Courtney Cronin with us here on Cap and Jay Hood.
She's awesome.
Working blue on the CarX Tire and Auto Hotline. Be careful.
Rattle, rattle, thunder, clatter, boom, boom, boom. Don't worry, call the car X-Men.
9x9x9, the 9-inning challenge has a date. This is going to happen. 9x9x9, we will tell you where and when. That's coming up next on Cap and Jay Hood.
Follow Chicago's Home for Sports on Twitch at ESPN 1000 Chicago. Cap and Jay Hood are back on Chicago's Home for Sports, ESPN Chicago.
We'll hear from Jesse Rogers coming your way at 9:18 with the latest on the Cubs and the White Sox here on Cap and Jay Hood on ESPN 1000. I'd like to let you know that Good Karma Wrestling, it's available now on the ESPN Chicago app. We got a chance to talk to the Nature Boy Ric Flair. It's on the ESPN Chicago app. Check out the podcast if you missed the conversation. A lot about what's going on in the WWE and also AEW. AEW's coming into town, by the way, in June. So, again, it's all there on the ESPN Chicago app. Just look for Good Karma Wrestling. So the challenge is happened. You know, we speculated. Could there be 9x9x9? Could we get this? So, Shay, let's explain to the audience that missed it what the challenge is.
The 9-inning challenge, 9 beers, 9 hot dogs, 9 innings. The 9x9x9. Now, a lot of people have reached out since this kind of went viral on social media earlier this week. I brought it up. I said, I think I could do this.
Yeah.
Tyler Aki agreed with me, so him and I are going to do this. We have a date set now. But a lot of people have brought up, well, I've been to a baseball game and I did 9 innings and it was terrible, but I got it done. I got 9 hot dogs. That was pre-pitch clock.
Yes.
This is a different deal. this has been turned up to 11 with the pitch clock.
Speed round.
Yeah, this is the lightning version of the nine-inning challenge.
Okay, so Cap, first of all, we're going to support Shay in this. We'll take care of him, right?
I would love to run a pool. What would be the inning that he projectile vomits all over the person in front of him?
We're going to support him with the nine. We can't support him with the nine innings, but we can support him on the beer and the hot dogs. Can we not? He's got to buy these things financially.
Financially?
Yeah.
How Danny was.
Come on. I think we could probably crowdfund this.
Yeah, we'll split it. Hoodie and I will split it.
Typical Cap trying to pass the buck. Pass it on to someone else.
It's great programming. Let the programming king, Zetterman, pay for it.
We'll take care of it.
All right, we'll split it.
It's a tax write-off. Pretty much, it's a tax write-off. We'll take care of that.
Murdoch says.
Don't do that. Don't get in my money. That's private. Anyway, 9 by 9 by 9.
All right.
I think that he can do it.
I got 100.
That says he can't?
That he can't. Okay. Without puking.
Now, okay, so there's three contestants in this, you know. It's not just Shay. It's Tyler Aki.
He's got no shot.
And then there's JC. There's Jake Cantu.
I think Jake can do it.
The Texan.
Jake can't do it. Jake's
no shot.
I've had drinks with Jake. He's a bit of a lightweight.
Well, he's a little guy.
He would tell you that, so I feel comfortable saying it. He's a bit of a lightweight.
But Jake has a Joey Chestnut physique, so he can probably get it.
I think there's only one person at the station that could do it.
And that is?
Yurko.
No shot. The bigger guys can't get that down. Like, I would never participate in this.
This is why
I have
started,
no opportunity.
Hood, this is why I've started running, because I know if I'm going to do this, I have to lose some weight. I have to get down a little bit. I have to activate my system a little more. I got to slim down. The bigger guys struggle to eat that much.
You know, we had Kobayashi, you remember this, on TV, and he ate like an entire deep dish pizza in 2.5 minutes. And he had requirements. When he came in, he wanted an ice cold glass of water, a warm glass of water, and then a room temperature glass of water. And he would take the piece of deep dish Malnati's. It's not easy to
eat. No, it's not. Or handle.
Put it in his mouth and just start shoving it until he swallowed it.
Brother.
Then he would take a drink of the warm water.
Yeah.
Then the other two. And then he would wriggle his body so it would shift in his stomach.
Wriggle.
And he got he got 2.5 pieces of pizza in 2.5 or 3 minutes. It was the most amazing. Got done, and people said, he's hungry. Where would you recommend he goes? I don't know. Does he want hot dogs? He went up going to Portillo's for Italian beef. Yes.
That's a weird system.
And he weighs 138 pounds.
Do you have a strategy? Like, would you eat it at the bottom of the inning? Or what's your strategy?
I was just going to bring this up, Jay Moore. I'm glad you asked. I will say now, July 1st at Wrigley Field, the Cubs are playing the Marlins. Tyler and I will be in the bleachers with Jake Cantu, participating in the 9 by 9 by 9, the 9-inning challenge. We will try to get this done. We pushed it to July so that we have all of the factors. The hot sun coming down on us, making it a little more uncomfortable. We're going to get after it. But the questions I have, because there has to be some parameters set here. Can I get in and crush 9 hot dogs right off the bat before I feel myself getting full? Or does it have to actually be one per inning?
I say you could. It's within the parameters of 9 innings. However you do it, can you get it done? That's
disagree.
The question.
He has to do it like the challenge says. 9 beers, 9 hot dogs over 9 innings. It has to be each inning. A beer and a hot dog.
Can I dunk the hot dogs in the beer to soften up the bun a little bit?
Absolutely, you can.
That you could do.
So you want him to do it once. I think you had to do it within 9 innings. If he can get this done before 9 innings, that's pretty incredible in itself. I want to ask also, so how big are the beers?
So we're going to probably do the ballpark beers, which means they're 24 ounces. But the challenge, Hood, this is where it gets tricky. The challenge is 12-ounce beers. So we have 2 innings to finish each beer.
That's reasonable.
The first at the bottom of the first and the top of the first and bottom of the first. He's got a while to be able to get that beer.
If I get a 24-ounce beer, it has to be done in the first inning. It has to be done by the second inning.
Yeah.
The end of the second inning.
That's what I mean. I think in the first inning, you're drinking 12 ounces and then finish up the rest. yeah. in the bottom of the
fourth. You're going to get to like the fifth inning and go, oh, God.
The heat, though, is going to be an issue.
That's what's going to be the problem. Ooh. And again, that's why I've started running. I know I got to slim down, man. I know I got to get fit if I'm going to pull this off.
I see projectile vomit happening in the bleachers running. I can't continue to watch this vomit. Here's Zach with a square D scoreboard. I mean, seriously, I don't think Pat can see that from the booth.
There is zero chance that he's pulling this off without puking.
Shay.
And you can't puke like 8 seconds after the last drop of beer in the ninth. So, no, you got to hold it till you leave the ballpark.
So it's Shay, it's Cantu.
And Aki.
Aki, and maybe Charlie, right? Is comedian Charlie Bevins being part of this as well?
Yes.
Yeah, so it's all four of them. So who do you like in that spot?
Okay.
Between all those, between those four, who do you like?
I'm going with Charlie.
Yeah, I'm going with Charlie.
Charlie gets silly.
Cantu weighs 114 dripping wet. He got no chance.
I know, but Charlie would be joking, man. He's
JC did say yesterday, that's a great call, Cap. 116 pounds is his official weigh-in weight.
There you go.
Dude, JC?
Yeah.
Yeah, but can he hold down the beer?
No chance. Zero. I don't think there's anyone at the station other than Yerk.
The nine-inning challenge.
I've heard Sylvie's a good drinker. I have never drank a lot with Sylvie.
I have.
I hear he can drink.
Mm-hmm.
Waddle, I know, can drink. I don't know about Carm. Carm likes the finer things in life. I don't know about quantity.
He's like you. Very much like you.
And Yerk, I think, could pound the beers. No question in my mind. You like the finer things. Have a nice Crown Blue or whatever it is. I don't think you're sitting there drinking 9 24-ounce beers and pounding down 9 hot dogs.
We'll ask you your thoughts about the 9 inning challenge. Can Shay do it? 2 minutes on Cap and J Hood.